All right. Good morning, everybody. Y'all come in close if you're out on the outskirts. If not, that's fine. Just be that way then. I'm just kidding. We love you guys. Thank y'all for being here this morning. I want to welcome you. Thank you for being here this morning. Open us with a word of prayer. But before I do, you guys know him. He's not a stranger anymore, but my good friend Chris Rowe here, this attractive man with a long goatee. Chris, wave in case it, yeah, there we go. Chris Rowe is here with us this morning. He's going to teach and he's going to do an amazing job. He always does. And I appreciate his heart in being here. And we're just going to pray over today. And so I'm going to turn it over to these guys. It's going to be a blessing for you, okay? So thank you for being here. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for, again, just the beautiful people that you've gathered together as your family. Jesus, we say this all the time, but we mean it. It's not cliche. Jesus, you are the head of this church, and so we follow your lead. Father, we thank you for leading us to this place and this time and this season for just a specific purpose, and that's to let each and every person in this parking lot, those driving by, those walking by, just to get a glimpse into the heart of a father that cares for his children. And so, Father, you're inviting people into that today as sons and daughters. Will you just speak that over hearts today, no matter where we're at, if that relationship is yet to begin or if today is the day it starts. We pray, God, that even for those that have been walking in that for a long time and maybe have walked away and said, I just don't know. Life is tough, and so I just don't know about this whole Jesus thing. Will you invite them back in? They have a seat at the table. And Father, we just pray that over hearts today. Those that are here, those that are driving by, those that are walking by, that your love, your grace, your mercy, and compassion fills the streets of Birmingham this morning. We love you. We thank you. Pray your blessings over Jesse and Chris and God, those of us that here this morning. So thank you. We praise you and everything that is said and done here this morning that we would honor and glorify you. We love you, Jesus. Thank you. We pray all this in your name. Amen.
Afraid I'll be exposed, afraid to let my heart out of its cage. What would you think of me if you knew my secrets? Would you walk out on me? From that's exposed. Feeling made whole, and I found a
today. Everybody get plenty to eat? Some chicken pot pie? Where's Jimmy at? Jimmy! Was there chicken in the chicken pot pie? Give me a thumbs up. Yes? There wasn't no gravy pie, was it? All right, that's kind of an inside joke. Jimmy had a bad experience with a pot pie. All right. Well, we've said many times that we all have a seat at the table, right? God offers us all a place, no matter what. No matter what. We all have a seat at the table. And that's good news. Can you turn that on? I think it's off. Beautiful. Thank you. Yes, we all have a seat at the table, and that's a beautiful thing. I think the biggest the biggest problem with Christianity, with people, with the way we see God, is we think, no matter what we're told, there's something in us that we think we have to earn that place, right? And who we are as people, for us, depends on our ability to earn that place, right? But in the kingdom of God, there's a different economy at work. There's really a grace that overcomes all of the things that we think keep us from God. And Jesus stands at the head of the table and he whispers to the heart of man, please take your seat, right? That's why we do this. That's why we meet together out here, because nobody's excluded. No matter what you did this morning, no matter what you did last night, no matter how hungover you are today. Dallas Willard, a really smart dude, says that God is the most joyous being in the universe. Isn't that so far removed from what most of us believe God to be? He's the most joyous being in the universe. And he brings that joy to our doorstep. He invites us in. It's not just an invitation where you're tolerated because you have to be. It's an invitation where you're wanted, you're needed, and you're loved, and you're cared for. Thank you.
I went the way of wayward winds, in a world of trouble and sin. I walked along a crooked mile behind a million rank and file. Forgot where I came from, somewhere back when I was young, I was a good man's child. I lost some nameless things. My innocence flew away from me. She had to hide her face from my desire to embrace forbidden fire. But at night I dream, she's singing over me. Oh, my child, come on home. Home to me. Singing true, son, there ain't nothing you can do. Listen close, I'll follow me, take you where you need to be. Oh, but don't lose faith. So I put my hand upon the plow, wipe the sweat from my brow, plant the good seed along the way, as I look forward to the day when at last I see my father under me. Singing, oh my child, come on home to me, and I will hold you in my arms, and joyful will be there.
I'm going to do one more real quick before our friend Chris comes. This next one I've done several times here, but it's recently. This one's based off a verse from Zephaniah 3:17 that says, the Lord your God is with you. He's mighty to save. He takes great delight in you, and he rejoices over you with singing. And I rewrote this because that joy that God has over us, for a lot of us, it's just an idea, right? It's just a thing that we kind of believe, but it's not really personal, right? But I believe that that's part of the work of restoration, is that love that Jesus has for us, not just an idea, moving past just an idea that we believe, moving past just a nugget of theology or sound thinking or sound theology or whatever, moving past that to a place where we can say that God feels that way about me, right? That God feels that way about Charlie, about Bonnie, about Mitzi, right? Because if we don't have that, we don't have anything. It has to be personal. It has to be true. So I changed a little bit of this song just to, just felt like I needed to, because I believe that for me, it's got to be personal. It's got to be real.
His children will love.
Jesus, thank you so much that that is true, that that is something we can hang our hat on, that you love us and that you desire us, that you care for us. Jesus, I pray that today, Father, that people would begin to hear your melody, begin to hear your desire for them, your love over them. May you quiet our hearts today. May you quiet our souls. Help us to take a break from the distraction, the frustration. Father, we submit, we consecrate this time to you. In your name we pray. Amen.
No. Uh-oh, dude, no, man, I was just waving. I literally was just, I'm sorry. I owe you one. I don't care. I was, you go get him, man. It's all right. That's going to be a great story, man. What's your name? I'm Chris. Glad to hear me. Thank y'all for having me here. Keith is... kind enough to invite me to share with you guys. Some people ask how Keith and I know each other, and I could tell a lot of reasons, a lot of ways we know each other. But one is we've been to prison together. Is that right, Keith? He's not even listening. Yeah. Okay. And not quite Dallas, Winsboro, Texas. Yeah, we've been in prison in Texas together. Jesse's been too. You have to ask him about that. Y'all like it when people get what they deserve? Where's Brandon? Brandon, can I pull this one out? Y'all like it when people get what they deserve? Yeah. Do you like it when, like, somebody's really messed up and it's affected you and then they get it, right? Like, whatever it is, justice comes in, right? You kind of like, yeah, I like that. Do you like it when you get what you deserve? No, we don't like that too much. Like that guy. Like, you want him to get what he deserves. Something really quiet. That's what he deserves. I got a dude like that that drives up my road at 5:45 every morning since I've had kids. My kids' rooms are on the front of the house. I think that's why they're early risers. No, we don't like it when we get what we deserve. But I want to share a story with you, and I'll read it and get my phone here. I want to share a story from Matthew chapter 20, and then I want to talk about it a little bit. For the kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus speaking, not me, but in scripture here. And he started a lot of stories like this. A lot of people would ask him questions, try to trap him. But at this point in his ministry, we're pretty close to where he turns himself and the disciples toward Jerusalem, knowing that he's going to die. But this is kind of this is toward the end of his parables on grace. And I want you to listen. If you don't know this story, this is an important one to know. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius, a day's wage, and he sent them out into the vineyard. About 9 in the morning, he went out and saw some other people standing in the marketplace, doing nothing. And he told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I'll pay you whatever is right." So they went. He went out again about noon, and about 3 in the afternoon, and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon, he went out and found still others standing around. They hadn't been doing anything. And he asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they said. He said to them, "You also go work in my vineyard." Gave them a job. When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his foreman, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired, going to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came, and they each received a denarius. That's like a full day's pay. These are the guys that showed up at the end of the workday and got paid a full day's pay. So when those who came and were hired first, they expected to receive more. And Jesse was talking a minute ago about the economy of God, that the economy of God is a little bit different than our expectations. But what happened is these workers started setting up expectations for the economy and how it was going to work. If those guys that showed up at 5 got a full day's pay, and I've been working all day, what do I deserve? You think they're expecting a lot more. Those who were hired last, the workers who were, let me get to the right verse. All right, so when those who came were hired first, they expected to receive more, but each one of them also received a denarius, the same thing. When they received it, they also began to grumble against the landowner. Those who were hired last worked only an hour, and you've made them equal to us, who borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day. They've got a point, don't they? They worked all day. They got paid the same thing as the guy who worked an hour. If Charlie shows up at the end, and I've been working all day, and the cute girl sees him working while I'm on break, and she goes over to him, she's like, "Man, you did such a good job. That's so nice of you to be doing the work here today." And I'm like, "He just got here. You're getting all the credit." Or even worse, maybe we show up for the same job, and Charlie half-heartedly works all day, and I put my full effort in. I think I deserve to get paid more. Don't you? That's where they were. We're in that same spot. We would have a similar heart. But the landowner answered them, "I'm not being unfair to you, friend. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money?" And I love this. This is my favorite part of the whole thing. "Or are you envious because I'm generous? So the last will be first, and the first will be last." So the way the economy here works is that it doesn't matter when and where and how you get in. What can we take away from this story? Let's be honest. think through it. Are you the guy who shows up and does the work all day long? That might be you. You the proud, hardworking, you take credit for the hard work that you do and nothing more. Some of y'all, that's you. But some of us are the 9 o'clock, the 12 o'clock, the 3 o'clock, the 5 o'clock. Some of us, let's be honest, we're like the 5:59, right? Show up for work a minute before it's over. But the way it works in the kingdom, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like this. Basically, it doesn't matter how or when you get in, you're in. It doesn't matter when. Now, some of you be like, oh, good, I can party until the end, and then at the end, I'm going to get that stuff right. Right? I mean, that, right, Charlie? Charlie's thinking, man, I could be doing a lot of stuff, man. But that's the beauty of not knowing when the end is, too. But I want us to take a few things away from this. One, that we're probably somewhere in the middle, and we would probably be offended if anybody got paid the same thing for less work, right? But that's not the way the kingdom works. The Father's heart is generous, and everybody that wants to gets in. Like, I love how the landowner goes back and says, why are you still standing here? Like, why aren't you working? And instead of saying, well, it's because we didn't want to. I mean, it said earlier in the day, at least one of those groups was being lazy. He says, well, why are you here? And they blame the people that nobody's hired us. They don't even take credit or responsibility for it. But if you want to be a part of the kingdom, and I hope that everybody I'm talking to this morning has said, yes, I'm in. When it comes to Jesus, I'm all in. And if you haven't, grab somebody who you know walks with Jesus and walk through that with them. But if you're all in, then you get all the benefits. This is why we can go to work early. This is why we say yes now instead of waiting until whatever we think the end is. Because in 2 Peter, let's see if I can get there. In 2 Peter chapter 1, if you're in, it says, starting in verse 3, that His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Through these, He's given us very great and precious promises so that through them we may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Some of y'all want to get free from something. Some of us want to get free from something. Amen? You want to get free from something, participate in the divine nature. You want to be free from the evil desires of the heart. You already have it. If you said yes to Jesus, you're already in. You get to participate in the divine nature. In other words, you reflect the glory of God, and you get all the benefits of being the child of God. It's Jesse's fault. If you'd have got to work earlier. Something I think, this is a story that gets told in a lot of I think misunderstood. I'm going to share one more verse with you, and then we'll kind of try to bring it all together. Galatians chapter 4. If you're in the kingdom and you're slave to anything, you don't have to be. If you are subject to anything other than God, you don't have to be. Because and I'm not talking about behaviors. I'm talking about your identity. I'm talking about who you are. So Galatians chapter 4, Paul says, my point is this, heirs. Y'all know what an heir is? Somebody who's owed an inheritance. who has a right, who deserves, who can, who has claim to an inheritance. The heir to the throne. It always comes with people with money. If you didn't, I didn't grow up with money, and so I wasn't an heir to any. I'm not an heir to anything. I don't know about Keith, if Keith's an heir to anything, but in the spiritual realm, I am. My point is this: heirs, as long as they are minors, as long as they are young, are no better than slaves, though they are the owners of all the property. But they remain under guardians and trustees until the date set by the Father. So with us, we were minors, and we were enslaved to the elemental spirits of the world. And that's where a lot of us stand. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who live under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because we are children, we are blood-bought, re-adopted children of God. And because we are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then an heir. You are due the inheritance of the kingdom, an heir through God. Now, a lot of this story from Matthew chapter 20 about the workers gets mixed up and told funny. But I think the point of these parables, this, like the prodigal son that gets missed, was that little phrase I brought up. Or are you envious that I'm generous? Because we can focus on the workers. We can focus on the landowner and what he did. Or we can see what his heart is. And the heart of the vineyard owner was generous. The heart of the Father is good. Second Peter says, you have every right to the divine nature of God himself. Are we subject to him? Yes, we are heirs. We receive that. We are in the line to receive from God. But we own the whole property. It was a cool and difficult thing to watch Keith and this church go through looking for a new parking lot. I couldn't do anything about it. I love Keith. I love Jamie. I love a lot of the team here, and some of them I'm going to love eventually. No. All of them that I know I love, and the rest of you, I probably love you too. And I love y'all. I mean, I love that this gathering happens, but it was not easy to show up here every Sunday and hear, man, Pastor Keith, where are we going to go? Where are we going to go? Literally, he didn't know. But you know what? He's an heir. And at the time appointed, what was needed was provided. Because he's an heir. Because his heart wasn't doing this for himself. It was a kingdom economy. And you are too. Whatever shirt, whatever name, whatever identity you think you are is incomplete. It's probably dead wrong. Because you are an heir with rights to the whole property. You are a worker with rights to the whole pay. Nothing good is withheld from you, from the Father, the landowner. Any of these stories that we hear about fathers and masters who go away always come back to the fact that the master is good, that the Father is good, that he is kind. In fact, it says in Romans 2 that it's the kindness of God that leads to repentance. Jesse was talking about how God is the most joyous being. God is also the smartest, the kindest, the shrewdest, and the most fierce being in the universe. And that is the identity and the inheritance that's yours, that's ours, that's mine in Christ. Wear that. Put that crown on. Put that hat on. Put that team jersey on. And you know you have to steal signs to get that one. I love y'all. Thank y'all for letting me share with y'all this morning. I want you to know that you're an heir in Jesus. Jess is going to share with us now.
We are your daughters, hallelujah, we are your Savior.
Jesus, thank you so much for that truth. We belong to you today. Father, we pray you would bless the rest of this time we have together. In your name we pray, amen. You guys hang out for a bit. We're going to get you guys lined up if you need anything off the truck. And so just listen for the first letter of your last name.